Well, I'm going to go through Matthew. This is where the focus will be. Matthew 8, Matthew 14, and Matthew 16. Peter in a storm, Peter walking on water, and this revelation. So Peter, just for context, has left. And remember, in Luke 5 that I shared last week, there was the part there that said, Peter, don't be afraid. It was this declaration. And I want to encourage you this morning as we go through the text, and there's three key passages that we'll focus this morning. How many times the word is, do not be afraid. And God doesn't say that by just casual conversation, don't be afraid. It's spoken into Peter's life. And this morning, I want to speak that into your life. Each and every one of you, do not be afraid. Because fear is the opposite of faith. And what we want to stir you is your faith, because that is what God is using to build His church. So just for context, and Naomi, you can move over to the next one over here. First of all, faith that is tested. And I need to set some context, because we're going to go to the text in Matthew 8. But in the build-up to this, what you need to understand is that Peter has been following Jesus. And Peter follows Jesus with the other disciples. And in the build-up to this, Matthew 8, there is a... Jesus is rebuking. Remember that word, rebuke. Jesus is rebuking the demonic. He's rebuking the sickness out of people. And just before we get over here, Jesus speaks to his disciples about the cost of following him. So you've got Peter that is now taking the step, and Jesus speaks about the cost of following him. He says, let the dead bury the dead. Come follow me. And this is where we find ourselves. It's been spoken, and now faith is about to be tested. All right, come with me to Matthew 8, and we're going to go from verses 23 to 27. All right, so Jesus calms the storm. And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea. So the boat was being swamped by waves. But he was asleep. Jesus was asleep. And they went and woke him, saying, save us, Lord. We are perishing. We are dying. And he said to them, why are you afraid? Oh, you of little faith. Why are you afraid? Oh, you of little faith. Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, what sort of man is this that even the winds and sea obey him? All right, today when we speak about Peter being at the boat or by the boat, it's not by coincidence. I want you to see the boat as being symbolic of what is safe. Peter was in his boat when Jesus called him, and he left his boat on the shore and he followed Jesus. And these two instances that we're going to speak about today before the revelation of Peter's faith was in boats. Now, I've spent quite a bit of time learning Greek this week, right? And the Greek word for a boat is naos. And then it progresses to the Latin word of navis. And then it progressed later on to those of you who are in old school churches, perhaps where they didn't appreciate drums. There is a nave in the design of a church. So you've got the churches, usually they're designed in this way of a cross. You've got like this, and then that corridor where the people sit, that's known as the nave. That also comes from the word, the boat, where the people are in. And the boat, symbolically in the Bible, even when you think of Noah's Ark, is a safe space. But it can be a safe space in the church, but can also be our safe space, our comfort place that we've been able to surround ourselves with in our life. All right. So as we go through these boats, yes, we're speaking about the boats and the storm. But when I'm speaking about the boats and the storm, I'm speaking about you sitting in your comfort place as the storms go. Now, let's go back to the storm. This storm is in the Sea of Galilee. right? One of the things I also had to do is take a geography lesson of the Sea of Galilee. Now, the Sea of Galilee, just so you know, is about 700 feet below sea level. It's the lowest lake in the world. Okay, but now because it's lower and it's surrounded by mountains, it creates a funnel effect. It's almost like a storm in a giant teacup. Okay, and what happens is that the winds go down and have this ability in a moment to create a giant storm. Now you need to understand, when we spoke last week, we spoke about the disciples being seasoned career expert fishermen. So when they say that there is a giant storm, you need to understand that they were afraid. When they say they were afraid, said otherwise, when they say that they were afraid, you need to understand that it was a monster storm. They were taking on water. They were funning it out. I don't know what they were doing, but this was something that scared them. The other Greek word that I learned this week that speaks to that giant storm is seismos megas. Seismos megas is the same Greek word that they used for earthquake. It was giant. It rocked them in their comfort place, and they were riding around, and they're saying, "We're dying! We're dying!" And Jesus is in the boat, and he's sleeping. He's just there. And you think he wouldn't be spared from water. He wouldn't have been spared from the giant wind that came up. It would have rocked him as well. Would have been like when I danced with Julia, she just relaxes and it's just going like this. And this water's coming over, and he would have been getting wet, and he would have heard the howling winds. But it's not that he didn't care for his disciples as much as he was resting in the peace of the presence of God. There's two people in that boat. There's two groups of people. Jesus, who is resting in the presence of the Lord, and the disciples that are saying, "We're dying! Jesus, we are dying!" And Jesus stands up and he says, "Oh, you of little faith." And he rebukes the storm. Now, there's pieces over there, because I've got another Greek word for you. But there's pieces over there where he doesn't rebuke them and say, "Why have you got no faith? I am the Son of the living Lord, and I am the Son of the living God. Why would you have such little faith?" Instead, he says, "No, why don't you have faith?" He says, "Why do you have such little faith?" He's growing their faith. He speaks faith into their life. Little faith is still faith. And all you need is faith as small as a mustard seed, and you can move mountains, brother. All right. So Jesus stands up and he rebukes. Epitimao is another Greek word. Epitimao means rebuke. And earlier in the buildup in Matthew 8, where Jesus was epitimaoing the sick, the evil one, he was rebuking the demonic. It's the same rebuke that he gave to those winds, which tells you that those winds were not just a meteorological occurrence. They weren't just a storm that was just an average storm, just an average chaos. I mean, just an average storm. It was demonic chaos. And when you understand where they were going to, the next part is where he goes and he saves the two demonic and places them in the pigs. So you know the resistance was coming from the enemy that was saying, "We don't want you to go there. We're going to scare you from going where I want you to be." And Jesus rebukes him. He says, "Epitimao, rebuke, be gone." And the waves are still. And the disciples of little faith grow a little bit more faith. And they stand there in awe of what Jesus has done. Who is this man that can calm the seas? Who is this man that has control over what we've just experienced and we thought we were dying, but everything is still in a moment of rebuke? And that awe is the same awe that would have been connected to Peter when his nets were overflowing in Luke 5 last week. It was, "Who is this?" And what he goes on to say is, "You of little faith, you've been tested. But come along with me. You've got a little bit more. Your faith will be tested. You could be in your comfort space, but I'm telling you that there will be winds and there will be storms that come in your life. winds and storms that will come to disrupt where you are and think that you're dying, think that you're sinking. Even based on your past experience, you would still doubt and be afraid. And there's two ways in which Jesus is going to deal with that if you're a follower of Him. First and foremost, He is with you in the boat. And Jesus will either calm you in the storm, or He will calm the storm for you. But you need to know, just because Jesus is silent doesn't mean that He's not there. There is a growing, there is a testing, there is a stretching that we're going to speak about shortly. Where do you sit in your storms? In your boat, in your comfort space, and your world is being rocked. Your world is in a moment of a storm that automatically came on. I want you to know that Jesus has the final say over the things that the chaos and the resistance that the enemy may bring in your life. Jesus has the final say. And it is a rebuke, and it can be still. And if it's not still, He can settle you. And I want to tell you today, you need to know this. In the storm, if Jesus is sleeping or quiet, it's not that He doesn't care. He is with you. He is with you, and He has control. Like they said, who is this man that has control over the seas? He is the man that has control over your life, over your circumstance. All right. So now we've got this testing of faith. And I got to make mention over there that before that, Peter threw in a shout out for his mother-in-law. So his mother-in-law got saved, or not saved, but she was ill. And it was probably one of the perks of following Jesus. He's like, hey, you know, I know you're busy, but would you mind just coming home with me to heal my mother-in-law? It was a great call on Peter's, great brownie points over there. But I just thought that was funny, that it was Peter's mother-in-law that was healed. Okay, but we move on from Matthew 8. We move on from the testing. And you need to understand that that's a generic, I want to say generic, but that was the group of the disciples. Peter was one of them. Peter was the fisherman. He was in there. And then we move on, and we're now heading towards where the faith is going to be stretched. Faith is going to be pulled. Faith is going to be a heavy one. Now, you need to understand, in the build-up to this, in Matthew 10, Jesus has already sent the disciples out in their first mission. It's like, go out. Go and rebuke. Go and heal. In my name, go and heal. And these guys go out two by two, hurrah, hurrah, and they go around the land and they bring about healing. You need to understand that they would have been buoyant with faith. They would have been, look what we can do in the name of Jesus. And then we move on a bit further to Matthew 14, is Jesus feeds the 5,000. But you know, Jesus doesn't feed the 5,000, the miracles through Jesus, but He uses the disciples to hand it out. They are part of that miracle. Again, faith is buoyed. One would say faith is at an all-time high. These guys are like, man, Jesus is the man. I've seen Him rebuke the winds. He's given me the power in His name to go and heal in the land. We've been part of a miracle where I've literally seen a little amount of loaves and fishes being able to be handed out, and they're still left over. Guys, you need to see this guy. My faith is here. And immediately after that, we go on to Matthew 14, 22, all the way to 33. So come with me there. This is the core part. This is a relationship tester between Peter and Jesus. Guys, if there's one section this morning that you need to know, is the stretching of our faith when it comes to Peter, this is it. This is going to be it. Trust me, it's a blockbuster. Jesus walks on water. So, just before over there, Jesus feeds the 5,000. He goes on, verse 22. Immediately, He made His disciples get into the boat, another place of comfort. They go in together. and go before him to the other side. While he dismissed the crowds, and after he dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. That's Jesus. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. They were afraid. Faith all time high, now I'm afraid. And they said, "Is it a ghost?" And they cried out in fear. There was fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. Walking on water, and all of a sudden, he's afraid. Up and down, up and down. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith." Not no faith, little faith. "Why do you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Guys, this moment between Jesus and Peter is one of the most profound moments in Scripture. This is something where you've got a man who's on high faith called to do supernatural things. So you understand, Jesus sends the disciples together in the boat and they go in. They've just fed the 5,000. Jesus is on the mountaintop praying. And as he prays, so the evening goes on. So the evening progresses. And over there they speak about in the fourth watch. The fourth watch is typically the darkest hour. In the darkest hour, they can see the winds smacking that boat. The darkest hour, the waters are going and these guys have been enduring all night. And that's when Jesus comes in the water. And as they walk, as he's walking on the water, the disciples see and they are afraid. They are afraid because they think it is a ghost. And Jesus says, "Do not fear, it is I." You know what's interesting about that? Another Greek word for you. Ego emi. Ego emi is the same Greek text that they used, "it is I." When you translate that, it is "I am." Go back to Exodus 3, where Moses asks, "Who are you? Who do I say I come with?" And you say, "I am." It is showing something over there that there is a connection between the New Testament and the Old Testament. That there is a connection between Jesus and Yahweh. It is so cool when you start to see it. And you need to understand, when he's walking on water, it is divine. Another cross-reference in Job 9:8, it says, "He, God, is the one who spans the heavens and treads the waters, only him." So in that moment, when you understand that it is only God that can walk and tread the waters. And yeah, the disciples are, and they are being swayed around, thrown around in the darkest hour, and it is there that Jesus meets them. They say it's a ghost. Jesus says, "Do not be afraid." This morning, you need to hear, "Do not be afraid." Do not be afraid, because it's in that moment that Peter recognized the voice of Jesus, and Peter says, "If it is you, command me to come." You notice how Peter's faith has grown. It's no longer about, "I need proof." You need to prove. Can you show me some identity that is you, Jesus? He just says, give me the permission to come. And it's in your permission that I will come. And it's through that that Peter starts to walk on water. Now, I had this image all week. It's the only time I stand up over here. But I got this image all week of Peter on the boat amongst the disciples. And the disciples, some of them are probably still afraid. And Peter, with the permission of Jesus, the divine one, walking on water, gets that permission, and he climbs out. And I'm curious as to how it is. Now, this isn't scriptural, but I'm still thinking Peter, the fearful one, is shaking on the side. And I'm thinking he's walking. And he's standing over there. And he's like, whoa. I'm thinking of Julia when she starts to walk, Jesus. And he follows and he looks at Jesus. And he looks at Jesus and he takes one step. He's like, Jesus. Takes another step and he's looking at Jesus. Sean, you can come up now. And he's looking at Jesus. And he's going. He takes another step. And the disciples behind him are saying, come on, Peter, you can do it. Stand over there. I'm still looking at Jesus. And for a moment, use that. But Sean, you're Peter, and I'm Jesus. And you look at me, come walk to me. You can add some dramatic effect if you want to. Stop right there. All right. Jesus on the water. Know that the wind is there. The wind only stops when he's in the boat. So this wind is howling. This wind is going. There's wind in Peter's beard. It's going. And Jesus, the mighty one, is standing before Peter. And for a moment, look there, Sean. Peter takes his eyes off Jesus and he starts to sink. And immediately, Jesus holds Peter and he's holding him. And you can imagine the wind came up and he was afraid and he began to sink. There we go. I got you. Okay. There we go. There we go. And he holds him. And he holds him. And he says, Peter, you of little faith, why do you doubt? Sean, you of little faith, why do you doubt? And he walks with him back into the boat. Firmly, back inside there. You can go sit down. Thank you. Give Sean a round of applause. And he's standing over there and they're in the boat and the disciples, the wind stops and all of a sudden there is this outpour of worship and saying, truly, he is the Son of God. It's the first time in Matthew that the disciples connect Jesus to being the Son of God. There is this revelation in this moment. And the winds are still. The winds are still. And the boat goes on. A divine moment. With permission, Peter did the supernatural. Peter went on to do the supernatural. It was not with Jesus, without Jesus, that man could walk on water. But by divine intervention alone. Let that sink in. Jesus wants you to step out of your comfort zone. Because in your comfort zone, the supernatural cannot happen. The supernatural cannot happen. And when you're pulled out of your comfort zone, you get to walk on water. Sean, you're heavy. Peter walked and Peter sunk. And I'm thinking about this thing because last week we spoke about the boats filled with fish. And as the boats are filled with fish, the boat sinks as well. And the reference to sinking is the sense of overwhelm. Peter was in a circumstance where, although sheepishly, he saw Jesus and Jesus settled him. because his eyes were focused on Jesus. But the moment the wind came up, he began to sink. Peter did not sink because he failed. Peter sunk because he followed. Jesus is not asking you how many times you sink. He wants you to follow. Because when you follow him, and you follow him, and you follow him, you're with him. And when you're with him, you get to do the supernatural. Over your circumstances, over every one of your circumstances, you get to do the supernatural. And you may find yourself in the midst of a storm, in the darkest hour, at the darkest night, thinking, Lord, where are you? Even when God is coming, you're thinking, I need something. I need a miracle. Or maybe you're already on the water and you've been following Jesus and your faith is swayed and you find yourself sinking because you're focusing on your circumstance. Jesus doesn't stand there to teach Peter a lesson and say, oh, why have you got such little faith? Come on, you can walk. He doesn't. He grabs you where you are and he pulls you up. And when he pulls you up, he holds you and brings you back to the boat. And it's that moment that you worship. Where are you in your circumstances today? Are you focused on Jesus? Or are you focused on your circumstances? Are you filled with fear? Or are you boldly walking in faith? It's not how many times you sink. It's the fact that you follow. That's what Jesus is after. That's what Jesus wants. And I'm telling you today that there are people sitting over here that I know they need to step out of the boat. And there are those of you that feel as though that you're sinking while you're doing the supernatural. And as you walk in, Jesus is there. And you might be looking at your circumstance, but immediately Jesus is there to pull you out of the water. Yeah. All right. It's the most profound one in all three when your faith is stretched. But you can go back there. Thank you, Naomi. You're on point. It's more important that your faith is revealed. Understand, it was at that moment, at the very end of that sequence of Matthew 14, they stand over there and say, truly you are the Son of God. Notice in the darkest hour, that is where Jesus met Peter. And it's through that miracle and that stretching that Peter has this recognition that he, Jesus, is the Son of God. So now we move on to Matthew 16. In Matthew 16, this is the confession of Peter. This is where Peter will confess who Jesus is. And you need to understand that where they're going, we will get there, is probably the peak of pagan worship, of false gods, of dead gods. This is where you're going to find the god of Pan, the god of Baal. You're going to see the support of Caesar, the Roman Empire. This would be like Jesus taking us to the golden bull at Wall Street Stock Exchange. This is like Jesus taking us to the corner of White Avenue and Calgary Trail. This is like Jesus taking you to the areas where the last thing you want to hear, maybe it's Parliament Hill in Canada. I don't know, but it's where there is no life, where there is false gods. That's where Jesus takes the disciples. Right, come with me to Matthew 16. All right. Peter confesses Jesus as the Christ. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said, but who do you say I am? Simon Peter, impetuous Pete, replies, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, not to reveal. I tell you, you are Peter. On this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Caesarea Philippi can be whatever circumstance. Could be where Teresa is working now. Could be a patient that Dr. Brad is looking at. Could be your old age home where you're in. It could be your family right now. You could be on the street. You could be in the shop. Where this world focuses on false idols, false gods. And that's where Jesus takes these guys in and says, who do people say that I am? And they list off all these things. And all of a sudden he comes over there and he says, but who do you say I am? And Peter is the first one to say, you are Christ, the anointed one, the Son of the living God. In that moment, there is a declaration of identity into Peter's life. He says, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. A little bit of Greek for you. The difference between Petros, Peter, little rock, and Petra, big bedrock, that's what Jesus is saying over there. Petros, little rock, and he's calling him to say, it is on your faith that will form the bedrock on which I build my church. How many of you want to be part of what God is doing through his bride? And you get that opportunity. Not just a small opportunity, you get a big opportunity. A big opportunity to be part of a story that is going to transcend the time of this world. Something that stretches into eternity. Jesus is not looking for flashy faith. You know, you can see something and you can say, wow, that is tremendous faith. It's not what Jesus is asking. Jesus is not saying, I need your flashy faith and then you can be the bedrock on which I build my church. He says, I need formed faith. Faith that goes from a fearful follower to a faithful risk taker to then one who confesses. And Jesus doesn't care how many times you've sunk. What he wants to know is that you know who he is. And when you know who he is, that's when you get the bold confession, despite the circumstance. And it's on that bold confession that you form part of the bedrock of what God is building in the bride, which is the church. Last week, I told you that in early years, I used to not like the name Peter. I told you, I listed off all the names that I wanted to be. I wanted to be a Russell. I wanted to be a Dan, whatever it is. I didn't want to be Peter. And my mom said to me, but you get to hold the keys to heaven. And I said to you, it changed my perception of the name Peter because I thought it was just me. But then you realize that everybody gets those keys. In your revelation, not something that is by works, but a heartfelt revelation of who Jesus is, the Messiah and the Son of the living God, that there is a faith that is formed. A faith that is formed, that is hard-pressed, on which God can build. And he wants to build on you, and he wants to build on your faith. And the reward for that is the keys of heaven. This morning, we need to rebuke fear. Because fear erodes faith. And throughout this journey, from the start, Jesus keeps repeating, do not be afraid. Do not fear. Oh, you of little faith. It's time we take one more step and we go further. What you see in this journey, and it's not all easy, because straight after this, I'll leave that for next week. But straight after this, you're going to see there is this next level. Doesn't mean that it gets easier. Doesn't mean that the storm goes away. If anything, the storms start to rise up more. If there are storms in your life, you should rejoice because at least you're doing something of significance. But it's how you respond. It's how you respond. Do you know that Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, is in the boat with you? Do you know that Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, is the one that has given you permission to do the divine, to do the crazy? It's not about flashy faith. It's about form faith. And that's where we are today. That's what Peter gets. And that's what Jesus uses to go on to do significant things that we'll touch on next week. I'm going to ask you to invite, well, let's invite the band up. Brad, I spoke to you on Wednesday, and you can finish this out. Can you stand with me, please? I don't know if you're in your darkest hour. I don't know if you are outside your boat and you feel yourself sinking, or you find yourself on top of faith following Jesus. I just want to declare to you this morning that we need to epitimao the fear in this room. We need to epitimao and rebuke the things, the heavy winds, the things that are holding you back from a resolute faith. And I'm telling you now, when I started this morning, I felt it. I felt that there is a fear that needs to lift. And I believe it's already lifted. But I'm telling you now, this morning, maybe you need to hear, Sean, you of little faith, trust me. Why do you doubt? I could go on. Chris, you have little faith. Why do you doubt? Maybe you need this morning some permission to walk on water. Maybe you know Jesus' voice and you need to step out of your comfort place. And when you step out of your comfort place, what you're going to know is God's going to do big things, supernatural things. And I believe God wants to do that this morning. It's not necessarily in sequence. It's not just necessarily the timeline of Peter. Peter's like me. He's a little bit slow, right? It can happen in a moment where you could have a heart revelation of who Jesus is. But make no mistake, even when you have that understanding, know the storms will come. Know the calling from the boat will come. And note, a public confession will be needed at some point in time. Are you willing to confess? Do you have the heartfelt understanding of who Jesus the Messiah is?